came from our midweek outreach we had this on Wednesday. We go on the streets, amen, every Wednesday, amen, and going to wherever, you know, where God leads us, amen, the trolley stops, amen, the Target, amen, the grocery stores, amen, anywhere where people are at, amen, where we can invite them out, give them an invitation out, just simply showing where we at, you know, sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony with them. And so I decided to try a new area out for our last week Wednesday outreach. It was the Fashion Valley trolley stop. And when we started there, it was it was just my wife and I, man, at the beginning, man. And immediately, my wife, when she witnessed to a second person, she handed out the invitation to, she met some resistance. And I wasn't too far off. I was not too far off, but I was reaching out to some other people nearby. But as soon as Kat came to me, the two guys that she was witnessing to came up, and one of them was a little bit more hostile than the other. And he said, "Oh, you're with her?" And I immediately, when somebody says that like that, you know, it kind of, you all right, well, yeah, I am with her. What's up? Yeah, I'm like, I was like, yeah, what's up? And I knew already, I was already dealing with the demonic, honestly. He started saying stuff like, "Oh, you guys aren't Christians. I'm a Christian. You guys are liars." And then he's like, he was being very upfront with me, you know, like very confrontational. And he's like, "You know, you're not a Christian. Quote me a scripture, and it better not be John 3:16. And, you know, I'm like, "Okay, I'll give you one. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." And then his friend who was with him finished off the scripture. So I'm like, okay, this dude has some Christian background with him. And so when his friend, who was not as hostile as his, I noticed their eyes, they were on some drugs, amen. One of them was pretty high, the other one was on some other stuff. But while his friend was quoting our scripture, I told the guy, "Listen, I'm not going to argue with you. You cannot argue with the demonic. I'll tell you that straight up. You cannot argue with the demonic. You can't reason with them." I said, "You know what? You should just listen to your friend, because, you know, he knows a little bit more than you what you are talking about." I was done talking with him. I wasn't going to reason with him. And flat, my flesh wanted to act out a little bit more aggressively than what my calm nature was showing. You know, in me was already something started boiling up. But, you know, I was being calm. I was holding myself together. But he continued in his aggression. And then he was trying to get Kat to quote the scripture. But we're just going to move from him. And his friend was trying to get him along, but he was standing there trying to discredit us, in front of people, every person that we're outreaching to. And if you ever know the Fashion Valley trolley stop, it's very upstairs, you know, it's a very long stairway you have to go up to get to the trolley. And he was stuck there, right there in the middle, taunting us, yelling at us, telling us, you know, we were liars. And after about 10 or 15 minutes of that, I got tired of it. I looked back at him, and I gave him the gangster stare. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know about that gangster stare? You make that direct eye contact where, you know, you make some, you know, "You're not going to move. I'm standing my ground," you know? And of course, he got offense. He knew what it was, you know, and he wanted to fight me already. But I was letting him know, and not only him, but that demon that was inside him, that we're not backing down, that we're staying here, that we're not scaring him, and we're not moving. And his friend was, of course, trying to get him to move along. And finally, they decided to move along after 10 to 15 minutes. And we were kept on outreaching. And then Brother Demetrius came along to come and join us. And then when Brother Demetrius came, I saw this another family coming towards us, going to their car. This father and his wife and their son. I walked up to them, gave them an invitation to come out to church. He didn't want to hear none of it. And I said, "Okay, God bless you. God has a plan for your life." And he took offense immediately. He took offense. Immediately he told, "F you, man." And he's like, "Man, you're offending me like that. I'm an atheist." And I'm like, "Man, we're having a great time right now in this outreach. My goodness, all the demonics are coming out of Fashion Valley. I mean, I thought Fashion Valley was up, you know, a little uppity-uppity, but man, I guess not, you know?" But he kept on going with his mouth, and I just looked at him and just thinking how ridiculous he was making himself look in front of his wife and his son. And I walked away. I didn't say anything. I just walked away. I didn't say anything back. But inside this man, he had a demon, because he kept on talking. I mean, he kept on talking. I'm like, he just kept on talking trash. And while I even moved to Catherine was like, don't pay no attention to him. And I didn't hear all what he was saying, but his mouth was kept on going. But the moment when he said that he was going to do something to me, I looked at him directly. I gave him that gangster stare. Letting him know that I wasn't scared of him. He's like, you keep on looking at me and I'll come over there. That's what he said. So I told him, what's up? I'm right here. And of course he got offended and kept talking and talking. But I was standing right there, not being moved, letting him know that we're not going to move. We're not scared. And I letting that demon inside of him know that we're not going to move and we're going to take dominion over this trolley stop. Taking dominion for the kingdom of God. And Catherine has some dog in her too. She's like, Jesus rebukes you. she wasn't scared too. I mean, Demetrius right there back of us, man. My goodness. I was like, thank goodness Demetrius came through, man. Goodness. I was looking for Matt as well. You know, I was like, Matt, where are you, man? We're going to take this dude out. If you know me, I'm not a fighting kind of guy, you know, but I will take a stand for Jesus. Nobody's going to back me down from my God, amen? He got in his car, man, making some kind of hand gesture to me, and he's still talking inside his car. We moved on, continued to outreach to some more people, and it seems like after those two events, God gave us favor, people were open, and I was able to even pray for a man from Sudan. And I told Brother Demetrius, the kingdom of God suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. I wanted to preach a sermon I titled, What's Up? I'm Right Here. And I want to tell you that somewhere along your Christian walk, you are going to face the demonic in your life. Especially when you're taking dominion, when you're trying to gain new grounds. These demonic spirits will try to get you to cower down in your faith, trying to back you down from gaining new ground in your personal life. Because the devil does not give up new ground without a fight. Not every day of your walk with God will be a war. Not every day will. But whenever you step out in faith, you better be ready to be engaged with the spiritual opposition that will come your way. Jesus said in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Jesus is referencing to the intensity of the spiritual warfare that was surrounding his ministry, that was surrounding his preaching. He had the Pharisees and the Sadducees always showing up where he was at. You know, he wasn't trying to go to the Pharisees. They were always showing up where he was at. Jesus was always about reaching the lost. But everywhere he was going to, there in the crowd, his enemies were trying to bring confusion, trying to question his authority, trying to question his preaching. And Jesus was also pointing out to his disciples that there's going to be a spiritual warfare intensity that requires every believer to endure when you're following God. To gain dominion for his kingdom and to gain dominion in your personal life. He said sayings like, oh, pick up your cross and follow me. Who in the heck wants to pick up a cross? That meant dying. That meant death. Dying to yourself, which is not always easy. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of power and authority, pushing back the spiritual forces of darkness. It should never be the other way around. It should never be the other way around for the church. The church should be pushing forward, gaining ground. But you have to understand that the devil is never passive in giving up ground. That's why God told the children of Israel they had to fight for the promised land. They had to go forth. He even told them, the land is yours, but it's not going to come easy. You have to go and fight. There are going to be battles in your life. They had to conquer 31 cities. 31, and all 31 came with the fight. In fact, when Joshua lost one battle, it was because one man decided to sin inside the camp. They lost to a very small city, Ai, you know, trying to gain dominion. And when they lost, Joshua knew immediately something was wrong. He said, God said he was going to give us a victory, but what happened? His hand of protection was lifted. It's because somebody sinned inside the camp. What does that tell you? That the battle is spiritual. This battle was spiritual. Somebody disobeyed. Somebody caused God to lift up his hand. And some few men died. And Joshua knew something was wrong. Gaining dominion would never be easy. Listen, when we were ready to launch out, leave Chula Vista and start Point Loma, I got a word. The word said, be ready because the enemy is coming. Now, you know, it's not like a word you want to hear from God. You know, be ready, the enemy is coming, because when the enemy comes, he comes hard. But it was the right word from God, and I needed to hear it because it was true. You want to know how the enemy came against me right before we started plowing ground in Point Loma? It was in my marriage. My wife and I, we had one of the biggest arguments in our 17 years of marriage. The enemy knew, the devil knew, if he could get into my marriage to fall apart, this whole ministry thing, this whole church thing would never happen. The enemy would try to come against us. Listen, man of God, fight for your marriage. You are the stronger vessel. You are the head of your home. And the stronger vessel means that when your wife is weak in faith, you are there to speak words of encouragement, to lift her up, saying that don't worry, God will fight for us. God will give us victory. God will give us the deliverance that we're seeking. Take authority over every assault that comes against your wife. Take authority that comes every assault that comes against your children. Go to war and prayer. Today you got these dudes. Man, they're so focused on building up themselves in the gym. But they have no spiritual strength. They have no spiritual life, a battle. Oh, when the physical fight comes, they want to go down though. But when the spiritual battles of life comes, they have no prayer life. Have no fasting life. Have no reading the word. And yet they believe that their faith is strong. The devil got you fooled. If you think you can live this life with no prayer, with no reading, and no fasting. In fact, look at the disciples' faith when the storm came against them. They cried out, Jesus, don't you care that my life is falling apart? Jesus, don't you care that we're dying? And Jesus had to rebuke him, saying, how is it that you have no faith? You see, Satan, he saw an opportunity. He saw a window. The disciples were by themselves inside one boat. He saw an opportunity to kill off every disciple Jesus had in one shot, causing a powerful storm. But when Jesus woke up, he said, what's up? I'm right here. He took his ground, he took his stand, and rebuked the storm. You have to understand that the storms of life will come out of nowhere. Just like what happened to disciples. It's not like you go out and see, it looks like a storm coming, we're going to go out to the sea. No. They went out to sea. It's like, oh, it's a beautiful day. But sometimes when you're out there, all of a sudden the storms of life could come at you. They were gaining dominion. They were going to city, preaching the gospel. Did you know that Satan is called the prince of the air? It says in Ephesians 2, in which you were once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the air, of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works at in the sons of disobedience. So it shouldn't come to no surprise that he's able to cause storms in your life, storms that come out of nowhere. I have a question. Can you say, "What's up? I'm right here," when others are going through the storms of life? Like Jesus did? Like David did? Can you stand in their defense? You read the story of David, and you know that the army of Israel was frozen in fear for 40 days. Frozen. Didn't move, didn't pick up an instrument to fight. Grown men had no spiritual strength to stand against a giant. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm like, hey man, about 50 of us could take him. You know, let's all throw our spears at him one time. You know, they weren't even thinking together. 40 days he was taunting them, taking his stand in the middle of the battlefield, morning and evening. It says in 1 Samuel 17, "And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Verse 16, it says, 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand, morning and evening, twice a day. Twice a day they were getting beat down by his words, bringing the morality down, cowering in fear, cowering in shame, thinking, oh, if I go out there, I'm going to die. Thinking, oh, if I go out there, I'm going to look like a fool. But never thinking, if I go out there, God will give me the victory. Never thinking, if I go out there, God will give me dominion. But after 40 days, David shows up and he hears these words of Goliath and said, "What's up? I'm right here." You see what David says in 1 Samuel 17. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head.'" You see what kind of authority he's speaking of? "And he'll give the bodies of the dead Philistines, the host of the Philistines, this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, and that all this disassembly may know that the Lord says, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands." It goes on, he says, "And when the Philistine arose, he came," it seems like he took offense. He's like, oh man, this teenager thinking he knows how to talk. So you see what it says, the Philistine rose, he got offended. "And he went after, he came and drew near to David. But David ran quickly towards the battle line and met the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell to his face to the ground." Listen, slaying the giants in your life would not come by physical strength, but spiritual strength. Giants of fear, giants of intimidation, giants of doubt, trying to cause you to move from faith, giants of pride, giants of trying to get in between your marriage, causing discord and strife. But this is the perfect story showing us that once you decide to take a stand for God, God will back you up. I say that again. Once you decide to take a stand for God, God will back you up. Just like that taunting individual in our outreach on Wednesday. The man who was trying to bring intimidation. They both eventually left. And we were there, standing, not moved, not shaken, but gaining ground, gaining dominion for the kingdom of God. Just like when the Philistines saw their giant head cut off, they started running for their lives. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist. Resist. That means push back the powers of darkness. Don't give up. Fight. God's grace and favor will always be provided for whatever you face. You got too many Christians relying on their own strength, trying to get out of their own problems. You know, how am I going to pay all my bills? Listen, you can keep on doing what you want to do for all these years, or take a stand on what the Word of God says and start giving, start tithing. I had a friend once told me, man, every time I start living for God, it just seems like it starts to get worse. Every time. That's why I don't try anymore. Because I don't want it to happen again. It's sad because this Christian man couldn't realize two things. He couldn't realize that's exactly what the devil wanted. A Christian who cannot fight. Happy where he's at in life. No longer contending. No longer pressing forward. No longer gaining dominion for his life. And the second thing that he couldn't realize is that when you're stuck in the same cycle over and over, it's a spiritual battle that you're facing. If the cycle keeps on going and you recognize it, it's a spiritual battle. The battle is spiritual. But some of you even know that when you do the same things over, you can see it in people's lives. You recognize it. The whole family knows it. They say, oh, there he goes again. It's a cycle. It's a spiritual demon holding them bound in that cycle. But can you recognize the cycles in your life? It's so easy to recognize the cycles in other people's lives. But the question is, can you recognize the cycles in your life that the demon or the enemy is holding you bound in? You have Samson. Samson was the strongest man that ever lived. The strongest. But he did not have spiritual strength to overcome lust. He had godly parents. He had a good upbringing. God blessed them with incredible strength. He carried the city gates, solid wood doors on the back of his shoulder, uphill, on top of the hill. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. He killed a lion. But when it came to the giant of lust, he could not take a stand. Listen, I have known men who think getting married would solve their problem of lust. It doesn't, because it's a spiritual battle, bound in pornography. But God can set you free once you decide that you're tired of losing, you're tired of giving ground to the devil, and you're going to take a stand, get dominion over your flesh. You know how to get victory over lust? I'll tell you how. Grow in the fear of God. Grow in the fear of God. And learn how to speak no. Say no to your flesh. That's what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife saw Joseph and wanted Joseph to sleep with her. You know what Joseph did? He said no. And she got offended. You know, she wanted to feed her own flesh. It's like, how dare you say no? Come right here and grab this coat. He had to run for his life. And she made up a lie and caused that brother to suffer for a couple years in prison. But he took a stand. He said no. He had a fear of God. He said, hey, how dare, how would I, I'm not going to do this wickedness towards God. He feared God. more. Something that Samson never fully matured in. Fearing God. He always thought that he could break his way out of things with his own strength. He thought God would always be there for him while he's sinning. But one day, he had to find out the hard way. One day, God left them and he didn't even know it. He thought, oh, you know, I'm just going out there, you know, like every time, every battle, I'm going to go out there and rip these dudes apart. Show them what I got. Show what God gave me. It says in Judges 16, Delilah said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke up from his sleep and said, I will go out as other times, shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He was just, he's like, you know what, I'm just going out there. And the Philistines seized him. They gouged out his eyes. Bound them with bronze shackles. It's a lesson when you don't decide to conquer the giants in your life, they will keep you bound. I say that again. When you decide not to conquer the giants in your life, they will keep you bound. Some time passed while Samson was in prison. It was a good spot because he humbled himself. In fact, God humbled him. But he finally got his heart right with God in the broken place. He finally got his heart right with God in the broken place. The Philistines, they had a great feast, amen. And they're shouting to their god of Dragon, which is a picture of the demonic. That, oh, Dragon has given us Samson into our hands. You see the taunting spirit? Oh, you know, he's given Samson to our hands. They called out Samson and they're taunting him. They're mocking him, just like what demons do. And little did they know that Samson got his heart right with the Lord in his brokenness, in prison, in his blindness. And he wasn't going to let this taunting pass anymore. He took a stand between the pillars and prayed to God to be strengthened one more time. He told the Philistines, what's up? I'm right here. And he prayed and he pushed down the pillars of the temple and killed 3,000 Philistines that day. And the Bible records that he killed more Philistines that day than he ever did in his whole entire life. His strength came from God. But one lesson that we can learn is that Samson had to learn while in prison, while being humble, is that spiritual strength comes from God, but it comes by prayer. It comes by prayer. You read the story of Samson and notice that all the times that God gave Samson the victory, Samson never prayed. Read it for yourself. God gave him the victory, but he never prayed. It's just like what he said, I'll go out there just like all the other times and I'll get the victory. He never thought about praying. He got prideful in his thinking that he could fight these battles the same way as always. Thinking it's his whole own strength all the time. But when he got defeated, he realized that his strength came from God. It wasn't him. It always been God. Winning the battles of life comes from strength from God. Learning strength in prayer and fasting. Because you know why he's in prison. They didn't give him 3 meals a day. Brother was fasting a little bit, a couple days. And Jesus told his disciples one time, they couldn't cast out a demon. He said, this one comes only by prayer and fasting. You got the 7 sons of Sceva in the Acts chapter 19, thinking that they can face a spiritual demon by somebody else's name. Never learning to build up a prayer life for themselves. That they can make demons tremble and shake. The evil spirit said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Isn't that remarkable? That the spiritual demons know who you are when you pray? Know who you are when you decide to take a stand for God? They're like, we got to keep an eye out for this guy, or we got to keep an eye out for this girl. They're taking stands for Jesus. But these guys, they're saying, you know, we're going to cast you out what Paul preaches. They didn't have no prayer life. Do demons know your name? God will permit a spiritual battle in your life so you can learn how to fight spiritually. You can count on it. He wants you to learn how to fight spiritually, how to pray things through. He's not going to let you live 10 to 15 years without ever praying. You decide you're going to live that life, that's on you. But guess what? A demon's going to come in your way. You better get on your knees, learn how to fight in prayer. Fight through fasting, trusting and leaning upon God's word. Paul said this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How do you wrestle against these spiritual beings? Paul tells us 6 verses later, praying always with all prayers, supplication in the Spirit. He gives us the answer. It's by praying. Listen, when the enemy comes at you like a flood, get on your knees and fight and pray. Speak words of faith. Speak words of authority and the power that God gave you. You might say, but I only have a little strength. I only know how to pray a little bit. God can do a lot with just little strength. And God can do a lot with just a small prayer. He slayed the giant with the small stone against all odds. I mean, if against all odds, the giant should have been able to take it. He should have taken it. The stone should have bounced off him. But the stone sank inside his head. It shows that the Spirit of God was behind that stone. And it sunk into his head, slaying the giant. Stop letting the enemy taunt your life. Call upon the strength of the Lord. He can change the chapters of your life with just one turning of the page. I remember back then when I was used to do Bible studies in the military bases, and we were having a revival with people coming out to church, man. Where people were getting saved in our Bible studies. But I'd say maybe like after a year, all of a sudden, we're facing heavy persecution. You know, we're getting doors shut. I mean, police coming out of Bible studies, busting out. Man, one of our Bible studies, the NCIS, I think, was the Naval, you know, Criminal Investigation, you know, system came. They bust through our Bible study. And they thought we were like selling drugs or something. I don't know what they were doing. I was like, hey, we're just having a Bible study. He's like, is that all you guys are doing here? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, okay. I guess somebody gave them a false tip thinking that they just didn't want to disrupt our Bible study. I mean, persecution. I mean, it was kind of odd. And then we told our pastor about it. And he told us, you know what? What you guys need to do, go out there and pray before your Bible studies. Pray to get dominion. Pray. Don't let it go by. Don't let this, you know, when you're having persecution or the storms of life come in your life, don't just say, oh, it's just life. No, it's more than that sometimes. It's spiritual. Spiritual, trying to get you down, get you discouraged, get you to stop coming. Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. When you have even just a little strength, he said, he will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness, a righteous right hand. You think David had the strength of a full-grown man when he slung that stone? He had the strength of a teenager. But God strengthened him. God strengthened him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength in the very present help of trouble. You know, when I was out there last Wednesday, I had somebody text me earlier that day, and saying, oh, I'm not coming to church anymore. I was like, why? You know, they didn't want to talk. So, you know, I blessed them, move on. But then when our outreach was coming on, and when that man was confronting my wife and that man was confronting me, I knew this the whole day was demonic. It wasn't just by coincidence. The devil was coming against his church. So I took a stand. I mean, I'm not a big guy. I mean, I don't even have big muscles. My goodness, you know, I don't even work out. You know, I don't know what would that do. If that dude came with me, I would bust like a Mayweather. Who my defense, you know? You know, I don't know what I'll do. I was just letting that demon know inside. And listen, I'm not scared of you. I'm going to take a stand for the kingdom of God. You know, I'm not going to fight him. My goodness, I'm not going to let him beat me up either, though. You know, shoot. Jesus said, turn the cheek the other way. But, you know, once he turns the other cheek, man, I'm not going to get the ones behind me, you know. I'm going to take a stand. And that's what he wants his people to do. Take a stand. Fight. Gain dominion for the kingdom of God. Gain dominion in your personal life and your family. Wake up in the morning and pray. This Christian walk is not always walking in fields of dandelions and butterflies. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.